Today is Wednesday, May 6, 2015. It's 2:08 p.m. and this is Dance Mania, where dance is not only an art form but a way of life. With your host, Diana Avila. For today's guest, we have Elena Chris Fuchs. Elena has just competed in the Emerald Ball. She is a professional dancer who has competed all over the world. And how are you, Elena?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, thank you. How's your week been?
It's been long, stressful, but it's good. It's good.
Did you have fun in the Emerald Ball competition?
Yes, we did. We had a lot of competitors there, probably 24 to 30 couples, and it was very strong this year, so we enjoyed dancing it.
Sounds cool. So let's go a little bit back. So can you tell me a little bit about your early stages of training?
My early stages of training started when I was 10. I did rhythmic gymnastics from the age of 4 or 5, and I wanted to learn about rhythm and movement. So when I was 10, I wanted to take hip-hop, and I watched the hip-hop class, and then after came in this group of Russians, and I took a look, and they were all ballroom dancers, and they told me to join in for a class, and I joined, and I fell in love with it, and then I quit the gymnastics and stayed with the ballroom dancing.
Oh, I see. So what first got your interest was not ballroom?
No, it was rhythmic gymnastics, and then I wanted to learn hip-hop, but then I changed my mind, and I decided to do ballroom.
Well, that's a huge step from hip-hop to ballroom.
Yeah, it's completely different.
It's a completely different style.
I think it's because when the ballroom dancing instructors came in, they offered me to join the class for free. Like, they were just like, oh, just come in and enjoy. And there was more boys than girls at that time. And I was 10, but still was interesting to me that you get to partner up right away. And I think that's what caught my attention.
Wow. What's your favorite type of ballroom dance?
I like them all because they're all different characters and they're all just different. It depends also on like my mood of the day or a certain costume, because all of the dances, they're all different characteristics. So some could be like fun, some can be a little bit more serious, and it just depends on my mood, I think.
Okay, so when it comes to tango, American or Argentinian?
Ooh, you know, I like Argentine tango.
Why is that?
I think it's more passionate. If we're speaking about tango, Argentine, you can get pretty close with your partner. If we're talking about international, you have to have a frame, and you can't really break that frame. So I feel like Argentine, you can get more personal with your partner, and I kind of like that.
And since we're in the subject of partners, who is your partner currently?
My partner is Maxim Kapitanchuk. He came from Ukraine in 2009, I believe. Yeah.
And how long have you been competing with him?
Since 2010.
And how is your chemistry with him? Do you feel like you guys have pretty good chemistry going?
Yeah, I think we do. A lot of it also is off the floor. So off the dance floor, we are really, really good as friends. And so I think that can be shown when we dance together.
That's really interesting. Now, can you tell me a little bit about your first professional competition?
My first professional competition, I'm thinking it was a couple of years ago. Okay, it was in San Francisco. Now I remember. It was in San Francisco. It was at the International Grand Ball. And we placed in the final. I remember we were probably between 3rd and 6th place. I don't remember which one. And then the next day we danced at Professional Open. Yeah, I remember that.
And how was that experience for you?
Oh, it was so much fun. I actually enjoyed dancing it more than the amateurs, because all the couples were just so strong and it made me push myself. So I enjoyed that.
Okay, let's see. And how did you come across this opportunity?
To dance or
to do your first professional? How do you got to that point?
It was like a point in my career where in the amateurs, we were in the final for America. We were 6th. And the next year, we were like top 24, and something about it just wasn't right to go from 6th and fall back down to 24. And I felt like I want to just mature and I want to change something about myself. And I decided to go into the professionals. Also because a lot of the students want to dance with us in competitions. And at that time, only professionals could compete with their students. The amateurs couldn't do that. Now they changed the rules, but back then only professionals can dance pro-am.
So that's what caught your attention, the fact of that competition type of environment?
Yeah, I think also it's important also to, like, make money. You know, we couldn't make money as amateurs. I mean, we were working, but in the professionals it was easier because the students wanted to go to competitions with us and perform with us. So from that point of view, we had to kind of change our lifestyle.
And have you, when it comes to those competitions, have you ever choreographed your own routines?
Yes. We find that when we choreograph, it comes out much better than any teacher we go to. I mean, our teachers are wonderful, but they give us an idea and we develop it. And we found that we spend thousands and thousands of dollars on choreography that just did not work for us. So we started to, play with what they give us and we just develop our own.
And when it comes to your choreography, what do you look for in each piece?
Well, what I choreograph for myself is very different than my students. For myself, it's what I would like to show, the storyline. For my students, I take a look at what they do good and show that more, and what they do bad, do not put it at all in their routines. Have them dance what they want to dance. So what looks good on them and their body types and how they move. You don't want to give everyone the same thing. Everyone's different and different personalities. So I think it's really, really important just to look at the person and do it based on them. Every person's unique, so you cannot repeat the same material.
And for the 2010 U.S. Dance National Sports Championships, how did you get across that one? Did you do your own routine or did somebody else do it for you?
The 2010 U.S. Dance Nationals, I'm trying to remember. That was in Los Angeles, and I don't remember at all anything about that. I remember that was our first Nationals with Max. I was sick. I remember that, but I don't really remember much about it. I don't remember even who did our choreography. It was like 4 months into our partnership, so I don't remember.
And can you tell me a little bit about the difference between when you first started and now? Like, what is the biggest difference that you see personally, besides, you know, the fact that you have more experience?
What do I see in the business or just in my own dancing?
In general, like, what do you think? What is the growth that you've seen over time?
In business, I see it's growing because of Dancing with the Stars and all these shows. So definitely the ballroom dancing has picked up its viewing. So a lot of people come to classes and they want group classes. So I think it's way different than it was in even 2005. Personal, I feel like when I was younger and my parents paid for my dance lessons, I took it for granted. And now when you're on your own, every dance class, it's like you have to, improve. You cannot just, waste the time.
Okay. Now, good thing that you mentioned Dancing with the Stars, because actually that's what my follow-up question was going to be. What is the difference between, like, competing in nationals and being in a reality dance show? What is the biggest difference?
In a reality dance show. Okay. So, competing at nationals, you dance with your own partner who has experience just as much as you do, and you're both the same age, and you practice every day. And then if you are dancing on Dancing with the Stars, you get a star who you don't know how they dance, you don't know their age, and you have to teach them from square one. So it's completely different.
You were in the 14th season, correct? Or you don't remember?
I don't remember.
Do you remember who you danced with?
I didn't dance on the show with a celebrity. I danced with my own partner, with Max. Okay. And we were performing for Cheryl Burke's studio because it was a competition between studios. And we were representing Cheryl Burke's studio.
Okay.
She had a studio, I think it was in Laguna Hills or Laguna Beach. And I'm not sure if she still has it, but she needed us to represent her studio. And that's how we got to be on the show.
Okay. Can you tell me any projects that you're working on right now?
Okay. We have a couple of projects we're working on. As far as our own dancing, we're competing. We're trying to place higher in the U.S. We're trying to make that U.S. professional Latin final. Besides that, we're traveling outside of America. We just, about in January, we traveled to England, and we placed in the world 14th. And then we have another trip to England in 2 weeks. Same thing, also like worlds, and hopefully we'll do well there. We're going to do our best. And as far as personal projects, we are filming a documentary about dance right now. So we're working on that and just doing the same old thing.
And can you tell me a little bit about how, when you started dancing with your partner, how was that like? Was it weird? Was it awkward, the first meeting? Like, how did you guys connected?
Well, we connected over Skype the first time, to be honest. It's quite a funny story because I went to England with a previous partner, and the partner I have right now, Max, he was dancing there also, and I didn't make top 50, but Max did with his other partner. And I didn't know him, but I remember looking at him and thinking, oh, how could that couple make top 50? And we didn't. They're awful. And then about a couple months later, he was looking for a partner on a dance website, and I was looking for a partner. And I didn't want to write to him because I remember thinking that about him. And my mother was like, just try, you know, just try. You never know. And I kind of gave up already hope having a partner. And then I tried and I emailed him and we Skyped each other and I just felt like I could talk to him and he could, oh, we don't know yet. We don't know the title of the documentary. So where was I? Oh, okay. So we were talking over Skype long, long hours. And before we even danced together, I could talk to him. Like I would ask him, like, how would you react if we lose? How would you react if we win? How would you react if we're tired? And I could see that he's easy to talk to. And so he actually came to America right before I Skyped him. And he had a tryout with another girl in New York. And it didn't work out. And he went back home to Ukraine. And then he had to come back out to try out with me. And when he came, we were both about 18 or 19 years old. And we tried out, and it was good. It felt good. And most important was that we could work together and we understood each other.
And when it comes to ending partnerships, mm-hmm. how has that been for you?
Oh, it's been horrible. I don't know, something about, it's worse than probably a marriage or boyfriend-girlfriend relationship because partnering, it has to be high and everything has to just be right with each other. And it's really hard to find a dance partner. And it's really hard to find a person that understands you, not just on and off the dance, like not just on the floor, but also off the floor. So,
what has been one of the biggest problems that you have had with previous partners?
Work ethic. Work ethic and results. I feel like previous partners, I had one who had a really bad work ethic, and then I had one who, he had a great work ethic, and he was, like, so talented, but the problem would be when there would be a bad result, he would just, like, run away.
not committed.
I was just like,
Not committed.
He was committed, but it was like, I don't know, I had to like not baby him, but I feel like it's like they couldn't get over a result. Like one time first place, they're happy, and then they're last place, and then they're sad. And there's like highs and lows of the emotions was just too much. That's why when I started dancing with Max, like, we learned to, I mean, of course, we still get upset and this happens, but, like, if we have a good result, you know, we party for 5 minutes, we get a bad result, we cry for 10, and then we get over it. And that's it. No one runs away. Everything is just, like, the normal. Keeping it normal.
And how do you deal with your own, like, losses? Like, how do you take that in?
Before, when I was younger, not so well. I was also very feisty. Now I feel like I take it in. I don't find someone to blame. What I do first is I go back and look at the video. If I see there's something wrong in the dancing, I correct it on the following day when we practice. If it's something, it could be even not even the dancing. It could be grooming, costuming. It could be where you put like position yourself on the floor. So when the judges are looking at you, maybe they just didn't see or notice you. And sometimes it could be the judges. It could be that in that particular day, they didn't find your dancing outstanding. It just, because it's so subjective. Dancing, it's not like other sports where, like, you put the ball in the net and you win. Or, you know, it's like either like it or you don't. So I've learned to kind of not blame myself, but first find the problem within myself. And then, okay, what's going on? And, you know, how to improve it. I think that's most important, is to find the problem within yourself and fix it and not always blame other people.
And have you ever felt a time in your career was like, okay, I don't want to do this anymore. This is too difficult. This is just, I'm done.
Yeah, I feel that all the time when I set a goal and it doesn't go my way. I always think, oh, there's other things I could be doing. But then I wake up and I'm like, no, I love to dance. This is what I love to do. So.
And then when it comes to training, how often do you train? How much time do you put in the studio?
We train every day. We're so thankful because we can train in a studio right near our house. It's called Releve Dance Studios. We teach there as well, but they offer us the floor to practice. And we train there every single day, or we try to practice every single day. And it's between like 2 to 4 hours, and then we teach probably between 6 to 8 hours a day.
And don't you think that's a little
too much?
Exhausting.
Yeah, it's very exhausting. I try to take Sundays off if we're not traveling. But usually a half day I'm like laying there dead, and then I have to do laundry and all these things to get ready for the week. So yes, it's very exhausting. Very, very. I think if you want to be a dancer, you have to be ready for the long hours, and it's not something you get paid even for. You don't get paid to practice. You have to do it on your own.
Okay, and then when it comes to traveling, how do you deal with that in your quote-unquote set job, which is teaching?
It does affect us because competitions, for now, for us, we need to pay for them. Only like the top couple, you know, couples of the world, they get sponsored. And it's all out of our own budget. So every time we travel, besides the fact that we spend money on the traveling, also we don't make money that day because we don't teach that day. So it's kind of hard, but it's something we chose to do.
So the studio you currently work for, they work with you when you have to travel, they understand?
Yes. Releve Studios, they are probably the only studio that we've worked for that's very understanding. They always have like a sub on standby for us whenever we cannot make it. And we always provide a video. And while we're even out of the country, we'll be emailing back and forth with the subs to make sure that we teach the same thing or similar. And it works out well.
And when it comes to your students, what is the style they teach the most?
I teach the Latin. I teach the Latin because it's my passion. I've started to open up a little bit more of also the standards so the kids can learn waltz and tango, but we do more of the Latin category.
And for those people who just want to learn to dance socially, to like just learn how to move, how to dance, how long do you think it will take them to learn and look like maybe they know what they're doing?
A lot of it depends on the person and the teacher. So the person has to be willing to be open and to learn. And everyone learns in different paces. Some people are slow, some people are faster, and it's okay. It's completely okay. Everyone still gets there eventually. And for the teacher, it's very important because the teacher has to be very patient. The teacher has to get a method of teaching, not just, you know, read like a gospel. Oh, it's this way. No, they need to kind of figure out a way so that it's easy for the student to understand and to dance what they would want them to dance.
And do you think there is certain people that are not made for dancing?
No, because I've had probably, I could already say, thousands of customers pass through me, and I've done wedding dances. I've taught kids from age 2. I've taught, my oldest, I think, was 89. And I don't believe that there's someone that's, I've taught people who've had back surgeries. I've had a woman who is the first woman who fell off a horse, and she had screws in her back. And there was like newspapers about her, and she was able to dance. So I think, no, there isn't anyone who cannot learn how to dance.
And how do you feel about when someone tells you that? Like, I can't dance, but can you fix me?
Well, yeah, I can fix you. When people say that, I try to, first of all, a lot of it's mental. You have to mentally clear out your mind of all the things negative you have. First of all, even if you doubt yourself, stop it. Just let the teacher do their job and teach you. So, yeah.
And what would you say to someone who says, what should I do? How do I start? What's the beginning of this?
Well, if you want to do ballroom dancing or any style dancing, you need to find a local studio. You need to research the teacher's teaching. Try to find someone that you can trust to be your teacher. I think the most important is you have to trust your teacher.
Okay. This has been Dance Mania, where dance is not only an art form, but a way of life, with your host, Diana Avila, on KPCRadio.com.